Now, it just blows me away the way the body functions, as Jason just showed us, and people still confess to evolution. How could things like that come about from a Big Bang? I just want to take this opportunity to share some of the things in my life, where I was brought up, and some of the many blessings that God has blessed me with over the past few years. I was brought up in a Christian family. I was born in Mergen, and I was brought up in Maryborough. I did my schooling and I worked most of my life in Maryborough. I was brought up in a Christian family, and every Sunday we'd go to church, and I'd go to Sunday school and church, and then I attended CYC camp at Harvey Bay, and I did that. I went there twice, and on the second time I went to the camp, at the end of the camp, we had people up the front giving testimonies, and I remember especially this one, and it really stood out to me, like the guy was talking to me. And being brought up in the Christian family, I thought, oh yeah, it's my ticket to heaven, so I thought I was right. But when I heard this guy give his testimony, he was speaking on, he was coming down this mountain range, and they got up over the range, and they're coming back down, and there was a big long straight, and as they come down on the straight, the steering, I can't remember what it was now, but the steering broke, we'll say. Anyway, and they were able to coast into a service station which was on the flat. And then I thought to myself, well, if I was in that car and that steering nut broke on top of the range and we went down the hill, I realised that I wouldn't be going to heaven because of my position before God. So after some people gave the testimonies, they said for anyone else to go out the back into the separate room and to look into it more about becoming Christian. And I remember they were singing a song. I can't remember the song, but I was standing there contemplating, oh, will I go? And then there was someone beside me at the edge of the seat, and I said, no, I can't, he's in the way. And then I found myself, I was moving out, and I was walking out to the front, and I said, well, there's no turning back now. So I walked out the back, and one of the guys came out, and he shared with me the way to become a Christian. And he used the John chapter 3, verse 16, which is a very popular verse, but he showed it to me in a very different way. He said, for God so loved Trent, that if he believeth in him, Trent shall have eternal life. And I can remember sitting on that seat and him putting that verse out, and he said to me, now I want you to leave, I want you to put your name in there where I've just stated. So I did it, and then I confessed Christ as my Saviour. And from that point I became a Christian. I went back to, I was in high school, that was 1986. I went back to high school, but I didn't change my life as at school. I didn't tell anyone what had happened at the holidays because I was too ashamed and too embarrassed. One of the things that I've struggled with throughout my life is the acceptance to other people. Like, I found it really hard that people wouldn't be able to accept me for what I was or who I was. And so that was, being a Christian, I just didn't want to tell people because I thought, well, that's going to really reject me. So I never told no one. I even struggled with my family, acceptance of my family, because all my family members are heaps smarter than me. Like, they did very well at school. I never was any good at school. I had to do all the lower, remedial English and remedial math and all the slow stuff. And I remember being in math, and it was right next to the train station, and I was able to sit beside the window and just watch the trains doing the shunting, because, you know, it was more impressive than math was at the time. Anyway, come to final exams for the junior certificate, we were allowed to use our calculators, and I thought, oh, this is cool, I'll breeze this through. So anyway, went through my maths exam, then we got to the factors. I never saw the point of factors anyway in my life, but I could use my calculator, so I got my calculator out, and I turned it on, and it wouldn't come on. The battery was flat. So I ended up with a VLA on my junior certificate, so that wasn't too good when I took that home to show my family. Even at work, I found it difficult, because being Christian, like a lot of you people know, working amongst non-Christians is really hard because the language and the some of the topics they talk about is just not the best. So I lived a worldly Christian for about 3 or 4 years. It was just more like a submarine Christian. You know, during the week you'd be down low, and then come Sunday you'd rise up to the top. You'd be a Christian for the day, and then you'd go back down. But then, through some circumstances that arose in my life, I realised that the way I was living was wrong, and that the way I was living was wrong, and God had accepted me for the way I was. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6, it says, I'll just start at 5, having predestinated us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. So it's through Christ that God has accepted us, no matter what our position is, the way we look, the way we are. God still accepts us the way we are. Here I was looking at the outside, and God's looking at the heart on the inside, and he has already accepted me because I was already his son. God's blessed me in abundance over the many years. The greatest of all would have to be eternal salvation, which God has provided through Christ. The second would have to be my fiancée, Karen. Providing someone who loves and cares for me so much is such a blessing. Just with the work situation, God's always provided work. After I finished year 10, I went and did a TAFE course, and I did boiler making, and I was hoping for an apprenticeship at the end, but it didn't prevail. But God still provided me work through a bakery that was in Maribor, and I worked there for about 11 months. And then I went straight from that job into the meatworks. And at the meatworks, there was, at the time for me, the meatworks was the, how would I explain it, kind of like when all else fails, you can't get a job, you go to the meatworks. And I hope there's no other meatworkers here. Never thought of that, sorry. But I've worked there. But anyway, I worked there, and there was a guy there, DPI inspector, and I was working while I worked there for about a couple of months, and he came up to me and he said, "You must be a Christian." And I looked at him and I said, "Why? Why do you say that?" And he said, "Because you act differently. You're different to the other guys here." I said, "Yeah, I am." And then he said that he told me that he was going to the Anglican church. So that was a real blessing, and I actually got to spend a lot of time with him because DBI inspectors, they had their own lunchroom. Gary, that's the DBI inspector, he had his own little lunchroom where he sat by himself, and then the workers, they sat in their own room. Anyway, he invited me in, and I used to go and talk with him over lunchtime, which was a real blessing because during lunchtime, you know, like I said before, the guys just talked their own rot, and so it was really good to be able to share with another Christian. Our production manager there, he was a real hard case, especially on me, because he knew I was a Christian, and he gave me a real hard time. And at times, it felt like I was being crushed by him. Like, he'd come up onto the floor and he'd pick me out and just come over and just start hounding me. And I used to just be like in a corner, and there's no way out. He'd be asking all these questions, and I'm just so grounded that I couldn't answer him anything. I'm just saying, "Oh, I don't know, I don't know," and I just couldn't answer him. And I found that really hard because, I just started to get scared of him because I'd see him come up and I'd say, "Oh no, here he comes, straight over to me and start hounding me. But, that's, I won't go into any more of that. During the time at the meatworks, we had a Bible study at our place, and one of the other guys there who'd finished Bible college the year before and started talking to me about Bible college, and he said to me, "Trent, you ought to go to Bible college." And I looked at him and I laughed. I said, "Oh yeah, sure." But then we started to pray about it, and we'd pray during Bible study, and then just before I'd go to bed, I'd pray, "No, Lord, I don't want to go to Bible college." And then things started to fall into place, and I was accepted in the Bible college. At the time, I had long hair, and I rang up one of the lecturers down there, and I said, "Oh, what about me long hair? Do I have to cut it?" He goes, "Yeah, of course you do." And I said, "Oh, no." And he said, "Look," he said, "I had a favourite dog before I come here, but I had to get rid of it because I wasn't allowed a dog." And I said, "Oh, well." So I got my hair cut, and I went to Bible college, and I did a two-year course at Bible college, and which was a real opening because people know Maribor, it's kind of, how would you explain it? Like, it's just mostly, I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, it's their own little country town. I went to Sydney, and it was just a real eye-opener because at the Bible college, they have all these different cultures, people from different countries there. They had Koreans, Germany, people from Germany, Singapore, and even the Kiwis were there. Bible college, it kind of showed me, like, I knew about missionaries, but I never knew about their struggles and the work that they were doing because New Tribes is missionary-based, so we had a lot of missionaries who were on furlough come and speak to us, so that was a real blessing, and I really enjoyed hearing from the missionaries and the work that they were doing. During my struggles in Bible college, there was a verse that really stood out to me, and that was Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. And it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." During my time at Bible college, there was a bit of conflict between the lecturers. I won't go into it, but I found it really hard in the end. And this verse really stood out to me because when I was struggling the most, I saw this verse and I remembered, like, Paul, forgetting all that was behind him, he continued on pressing forward towards the goal, which was the prize. And at that time, like, when I thought of this, I said, it's my graduation. I'm going to graduate from here. I remember when I first got down to college, like, I went down a week early because I needed to get a few things arranged. And I went down there, and in the men's dorms, they have, it's a fairly big room, but it's divided by cupboards. And you have four guys on one room in bunks, and then four guys in the other room. And I remember sitting there on my own, and I said, "Oh, Lord, you're going to have to get through me. You're going to have to help me to get through this. This is just, I can't do this on my own." And then the 2 years just went so quickly. I remember just standing up there in graduation, and I'm thinking, "Lord, it's finished. Thank you, thank you." After I finished Bible college, I went home, and the Lord provided me work back again at the meatworks. But that soon closed down. So I was looking for work once again, and I had a relative who was a beekeeper. So I started working for him for a little while, but work ran out. So I moved on to Rockhampton, and I was staying with one of the lecturers who was from Bible college, who was living up there. And I looked for work up there for about 4 weeks, and I got a job in a bakery because of my past experience. So I was able to work there for a while. And then the beekeeper rang me up again. He said, "Oh, Trent, I want you back. I've got some work for you." And I said, "Right, I'm coming home." So I went back, and I started working with the beekeeper again. And then I met Karen, and I thought, well, I really want to go to Brisbane now because Karen's in Brisbane, and I see a bigger future down there because there's not really much of a future in Biggerton. The beekeeper I was working with, he was really good friends with the boss at the at Capilano, and he mentioned that I was actually looking for work through Capilano, in Brisbane, and he said, "Oh, we've got a job here for him if he's interested. Just turn the ring up and I'll arrange an interview." So I rang him up and told him that I was interested, and we arranged an interview. And I come down to Brisbane for the interview, and the interview was for 9:30, and I got there, and he said, "Trent, we're going to have to hurry this up. We've got an important meeting at 10 o'clock, so this is going to have to be rushed." I thought, "Oh, no." So They virtually said to me, Trent, you've got the job. You just ring up and tell us when you want to start. Which really blew me away, because here I see God providing a means to come to Brisbane. And I saw the doors really open. So I didn't tell them that I accepted the job. I went and ran Karen. I said that they've said I've had the job, and I made a few other phone calls. And so I went back and I told the beekeeper that I was leaving. And so time passed on. And then I didn't have really anywhere to stay, but I rang my sister and she said that I was most welcome to stay with her until she could, until I could find accommodation somewhere else. And then so I moved down and got settled in and I started working. And then we're on the jet boats, ferry cats, whatever you want to call them. And I ran into an old friend who I used to live with while I was working with the meatworks, and I said, hey, do you know any Christians who are wanting someone else to move in? And they said, yeah, we are. Yeah, cool. So that was really good. So I rang him up later on and arranged that I moved in with them, and I'm still living there now. During my time, I have at the Capilano, they provided me to get my forklift ticket through the company. Like, they paid for everything. And also, I got engaged. I don't know how long ago. But as you can see, like, all the way through this, God has just been a real blessing to me, providing these things of my need. That, like, you come to a situation, you'd say, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And then he'd open the door, and there would be such a blessing that would be able to provide me into that the next step to take. So it doesn't matter. So now I see that it doesn't matter if people don't accept me for the way they look, for the way I used to be at high school, you know, being in the dumb class. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I now realise that God accepts me for who I am, for not what I am. And I'd just like to encourage the people today, especially the younger folk, that if you're in the same situation, just struggling with acceptance, just remember the words of we've just read in Ephesians, where it talks about God accepts us through his Son.